All right, good evening, and thank you guys for joining in with us as we've been seeking the face of God like never before. We're coming together to give a special study, if you will. We've been going on into spiritual warfare, and the last segment we were actually in Daniel chapter 7, and we supplement that with Ezekiel chapter 37, so we're going to come back to that. But the Lord is leading me tonight to get into the study of Revelation. I have no idea how long he's going to have us here, but we want to take the study step by step. For those who want to know what thus saith the Lord and how to maintain in these end times, so we will definitely be going back and forth to the prophetic and Joel and Ezekiel and you know, to supplement Revelation as well. So, for those of you who are just joining in with me, I am going to kind of bring us up to speed in regards to the Revelation chapter 1. So, I'm going to briefly go into bits and pieces in regards to Revelation chapter 1, and then we'll get into Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 1, it says, "The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." All right, so I'm going to stop there briefly and make sure we don't get any distractions here, because this is definitely some serious information. We want to make sure that everybody is taking some good notes, because we want to make sure that we're not just hearers, but doers also. So the reason why I really want to focus on verses 1 and 2, because a lot of people just kind of skip over those introductory verses, but there is a great revelation here in the introduction. The Lord, God the Father, is introducing us into his method of communication with his children, okay, through the Son, Jesus Christ. It said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So God gave him this revelation to give unto his servants. So he gave to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Then he sent and signified those things that he desired for us to know. He signified it by his angels, and then the angels were the messengers that were sent. And that's what John signifies, a disciple, an apostle, a prophet of the Most High. All right. So this is the chain of command by which the Lord uses to communicate by his Holy Spirit to the servants of the Most High. All right, and it's important to understand that. Even it says, "Who bear record of the word of God." So, you know, he gives us these revelations so that we can bear record of the word, not just so that we can know and so we can behold and say, "Yes, I saw that," but so that we can bear forth the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because in Revelation chapter, I believe it's 12 or 13 as well, the Lord says, "We overcame them by the word, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we didn't love our lives even unto the death." And that's what he tells us, and that's important, because in the end times we have to make sure that we love not our lives even until the death, but we stand firm on the foundation of faith and we stay the course. Or we have to stay the course no matter the situation or the circumstance. Even Paul reminded us and even encouraged us. He said, you know, there's going to be times of despair and perplexities. You know, we're cast down but not destroyed. All sorts of things we have to persevere through and overcome, you know, for the sake of Jesus Christ and maintaining the name of Jesus Christ, okay? So it's important that we recognize this, and I'm going over this verse 1 again, and you'll probably hear me repeat this over and over again to drill it so that this is getting, it's hit in your heart, so that we may not sin against the Lord. But he sent and signified it by his angels unto his servants. All right, so it's important because as maybe some of you are just receiving the Holy Spirit, maybe you have been in the Holy Spirit for a while, but you know, with times like these, the Bible says that the end is not going to come except there be a falling away. And so we talked briefly briefly in another segment where it talked about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and this is how that falling away happens, and where people are led astray with doctrines of devils. And it said it's almost right, but not quite. All right, and it starts here with the line of communication, and this is why it's important to understand how the Lord communicates, so that when you're feeling like, oh, I don't understand why the Lord would say that, well, the Lord probably didn't say that, okay? Sometimes you're going through and your trials, and the Bible says the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, all right? So, yes, and the Lord is not a bully. All right, so in all that giving, we have to get an understanding and make sure that we really understand the fulfillment of his prophecy, because the Lord even said by his prophets a few years ago that those who know the Lord are going to know the Lord. And at this point, those who know him would know him, and those who don't won't, okay? Some still have to be sought out, but for the most part, he has given the seeds planted that they know the Lord Jesus, okay? He said, but those who don't know him, they won't at this point, okay? And those who do know him know to do his will and to do his purpose. But the enemy tries to stiff us like wheat and try to have us depart from the faith. And he does it with communications of false communications, all right? Because it says, which must shortly come to pass, he sent his signified things by his angels and unto his servants, okay? So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And you hear me say this every broadcast, and I'm going to continue to say it. But against flesh and blood, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, excuse me, but against powers, against rulers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right? And they present themselves as angels of light, okay? When in fact, they are not. They're demonic forces. That's why the Lord desires that we seek him while he yet may be found, and to learn of him, so that when we hear falsehood, that we cast it out and let it not penetrate our hearts. Because when you're seeking the Lord and you're seeking him through prayer, when you're seeking him through supplication here, and you're feeding yourself the bread of life, then when an enemy comes up presenting himself as an angel of light, a messenger of light, then you can say, you know what, devil, you're defeated on every corner and every avenue. The blood of Jesus is against you, Satan, in every shape, fashion, form, and dimension. And you use the power of God to overcome the enemy and these rulers of darkness. And we've got to continue to speak the word out of our mouth. Use the power of the word. Use that sword of the spirit against the enemy. It's so important. Okay? Because he signifies his word by his angels. And there's a war, there's warfare continually going on in the heavenly realm. We can't, sometimes when you're in the spirit and when you're praying and when you're in the spirit reading the word, you want to make sure you're receiving what thus saith the Lord from the truth. This is why when we're putting on our whole armor, we make sure we're girded about with truth. So when we hear things that's contrary, we're not led astray and about with different doctrines and waves, okay? That's contrary to the word of God, all right? Because the Lord is not slack with his coming, but that all should come to the knowledge of him and come to the knowledge of the truth, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, okay? So then we are to bear record of that word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all of the things that we see. All right? And take hold of it. But the Bible tells us that we judge righteously. So we're not just going by the things that we see. We're going by the things that we hear. We go with righteous judgment, comparing these things with the word of God, spiritual with spiritual. Okay? So that we can maintain in that, going through that straight and narrow gate. So then it says, blessed is he that readeth and that hears the words and keeps these things, because the time is at hand. All right, so John then is to, he's commissioned to give word to seven churches which are in Asia. He says, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And it's important to understand, because even with this greeting through John, he makes it clear that's what's coming forth to the seven churches which he has been told to speak to minister to. He says, first grace. So he's coming with Jesus. Christ and peace, these two significant characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit. So he's coming with grace and peace. So when the true saints of the Most High God are coming to speak the word of truth to you and you're receiving it, okay, you understand that it is the truth because they're coming with grace. Okay, the true ministers of God and the ministers of light, they're coming with grace in Jesus Christ as in salvation. All right, they're not coming with condemnation. They're not coming with hate. Okay, but we're coming with righteous judgment and we're coming with the whole loaf of the Word of God. So that's not saying that we're not going to tell you about your sin and telling you that you need to repent. But there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. So he says, grace be unto you and peace. But this peace is not the peace of the world. He said, this peace is coming from him which is and which was and which is to come. The Ancient of Days, our everlasting Father God, who is the first and the last and the beginning and the end. And with him are the seven spirits which are before his throne. And you can find those seven spirits that we talk about that are faithful and true, all right, with righteous judgment and wisdom and understanding, okay? All of the spirits are actually in the book of Isaiah, okay? Now, from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, we just went over that, and the first begotten of the dead, okay? So we've got to understand that Jesus is the resurrection. So we're not looking at things, and this is going to be supplemental to our series with Ezekiel chapter 37. All right, you can look at a dead situation and shed the light of Jesus on it because he is the resurrection. And it says, the first begotten and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and dominion honor forever. So he comes in the clouds. Everyone shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Okay. Verse 7, it says, behold, he cometh with clouds. So Jesus is coming. When he comes back, let's not be having any confusion. Because when he comes, so anybody that tells you that the resurrection is past or anything like that will present you with falsehood, or they're trying to give a direct time of his coming, or he's going to come this day or that, or he's here or there, just like the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, believe it not. If they're preaching any other gospel besides what we know to be the truth, believe it not and shun that person, okay? Priest unto God and his Father, we talked about that, but he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him. So when the Lord comes back, we're going to see him. This is not going to be a secret thing, okay? So anybody preaching about any type of secret revelations, or the Lord gave you some kind of secrets are meant to be revealed because Jesus reveals his mysteries to those that he loves. And you can go back and read that in the Gospel of John chapter 15. He said that, he talks about love and that he shares his plan with his friends. Okay? So every eye shall see him and they which pierce him, so even his enemies. So this is not something that's even going to be secret even from the enemies. Well, okay, the saints will know, but I guess because I wasn't doing right, he left without me, and it's not for me to know, okay? That's not the case. The Bible says that when he comes, every eye shall behold him, shall see him, even those which pierced him, which means to say that they turned their back on him, those who rejected his love, okay? Those two will still see him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, will cry out. Okay? And even so, amen. So the Bible says, so be it. Then the Lord introduces himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So he is the originator of all things. He's the originator of all glory, honor, and praise. Saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. So he's making it clear that he's even the originator of all prophecy. Nobody can write the book on your life besides the Lord Jesus Christ, because all things, the Bible tells us in Colossians, that all things have been created for him and by him. And nothing can be proclaimed or declared unless he allow it, okay? So John, he says, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of the Lord Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we don't even realize that sometimes we're in a place or a particular situation or position or trial or test for the purpose of the testimony of Jesus Christ. We have to make sure that we endure to the end. The Bible tells us that the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to those who endure to the end shall be saved. So this is about not a fast race. It's not something that we can take shortcuts, but those who know the Lord know to trust in him and to trust in his holy name, and that now in the days that we're in, the hour that we're in, we have to be watchful and pray. And to those who need this sign, the Bible says that the sign that will be given is Jonah, okay? And when he went down into the lowest parts, then what did he do? He prayed and was delivered. So it's important to understand that deliverance comes from Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit. Healing comes by Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. But there are prerequisites, and that's we believe on his name only and stand firm on his foundation of faith. This is not, it's not something where you can do halfway. You can be half in the world and half out. He is no longer taking a half-hearted surrender. You have to surrender completely to the will and purpose of Christ, or be on the other side, experiencing the temporary relief that the world gives. Temporary fixes, temporary relief for a particular situation and circumstance, with happiness when it's not true fulfillment of the heart by his Holy Spirit. Okay? And in verse 10, then John goes on to say, so I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord, and he heard behind a great voice. So I want to say this because a lot of people think that there's certain things that you have to do. When you see people, they've been lifted up to certain levels of position, it's because of obedience, all right? It's not something that you just pray to the Lord about. And this is why John even says this in verses 9. So I don't want to get off of this just yet, because he makes it clear that he's a fellow companion in tribulation, all right? People who receive this type of privilege to write the word of God and to bear a record of the testimonies and visions and things of this nature, they're going to go through things. And they've got to know without a shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ is their personal Lord and Savior, that he's their deliverer. Okay, and that he is God, whether they get delivered or not. Okay, so he is introducing us even before he gives the message. He's saying, hey, the Lord introduced himself to me and he's given me this mission. I received this information from the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. But because I've been given this privilege to see such things, that doesn't put me in a whole nother category where I don't do suffer tests and trials, all right? I mean, even Paul was taken up to such heavenly levels of elevation that he was given a thorn in his flesh. And even Jacob, we know the situation where he came out because of being blessed and wrestling with an angel, that he came out and he too had a limp, all right? So John is making it clear as an apostle of the Most High that he's not exempt from the persecutions that come with following the name of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say that he was in the Spirit, and on the Lord's day he heard that great voice as a trumpet. And so here he's given that revelation even of the voice of the Most High that again introduces him to say, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, so he's even, the Lord is coming in gentleness to introduce himself and to say, hey, I'm about to show you some things. Now, what you're going to see, this is your commission. I want you to write it down. Write it in the volume of a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia. And he names these churches, the ones that have been established in Ephesus, the ones in Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Okay? Then when he went, because he heard the voice before he saw anything, even though the voice did say, write what you see, he hadn't seen anything yet. And then he said, I turned to see the voice that spake, and to behold, and in turning, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded with the path with the golden girdle. So here he's seeing these candlesticks, which we know to be the light of the churches, and Jesus here is in the midst of these churches, okay? So that's what the light is significant of, and I want you to remember about this light, because the Bible is going to tell us here in chapter 2 that we've got to be careful lest he take that lampstand out from us and we no longer have a light shining within us. Remember that scripture in Matthew that says, therefore, I think it's Matthew chapter 5, let our light so shine that men and women would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. All right, so here is that light in the midst of those candlesticks is one, the Son of Man. So we know here it is the description of the Lord Jesus and his head, and his hairs were white as snow and as white as snow, and his eyes as flame of fire. So here's the description, and his voice is the sound of many waters, and in his right hand seven stars. And the Bible tells us, well, I won't go too far ahead. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sunshine in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, same as Ezekiel did. Amen. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. He said, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and yet I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. That's what thus saith the Lord Jesus. Then he goes in to say again, write what you've seen. And that's what he's seen so far. Write what you've seen and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now the mystery, so see, the Lord is a revealer of secrets, just like we went over in Daniel. He said, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in your right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. Now the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and when we talked about the angels were sent to communicate the will of God to the apostles, to the prophets, to the disciples, okay, of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou saw are those seven churches. Blessed be the reading of that word. So this is, I'm going to pretty much stop this here because I didn't think that it would take this much time to cover chapter 1. But just to bring us abreast of some things right here, in the chapter 1, the Lord God is introducing himself, even through the Son, Jesus Christ, by his Spirit to John and giving him the commission to give the revelation of what he saw. And if we don't know this, this is not this big, great, profound revelation, but it's important that we understand obedience. A lot of people, I've talked to people that say, oh my gosh, and they just pray for a double portion of like Elijah, and they pray, they want more anointing. Anointing does break yokes, but you have to understand that the power of God is in the belief, just to believe only and stand on the promises of God without wavering and without compromise, without doubting. That's where then lies the power is to go forth, because many people are on the sidelines right now. They're looking like, where do I go? Where do I start? And the most powerful thing that we can do right now is be obedient to the will and purpose of Christ. Just do what the Spirit of God have told you to do. Go and overcome the flesh. We overcome evil with good, and just do his righteousness and seek him through his word. Hide the word in my heart so that we may not sin against him, but still present ourselves as a shining light even in the midst of darkness, because we're in these days where we're really approaching darkness. I mean, there's darkness around, but we still have a light shining here, but we're approaching days of the darkness. And the Bible tells us that, you know, when night comes, no man can work. So it's important to work while it's day and to make sure that we maintain this harvest, because the Bible tells us that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we're trying to reach our expected end in Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that those who endure to the end shall be saved. And to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. And that's what we're talking about, that tree that has everlasting life, where we can go, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So we have to understand that, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. But the reward is not in how we start, but how we endure to the end. And how we finish, that reward is in the finish. And we have to understand, because many people are going, getting a lot of people who initially started out with us on our walk for Jesus Christ, they're no longer there. Many people have already fallen by the wayside. Now, some will come back, but not all. And we have to prepare our hearts for things and understand that we cannot control other people's, you know, their hearts and what their decisions are. But we cannot be sorrowful. We can only just show forth the purified love of Jesus Christ and be obedient to his will and his purpose, okay? And that's in chapter 1. It's just understanding, hey, the role that we play is obedience and to recognize the voice of the Lord. And he said that it even sounds like many waters, okay? So we just stand firm and know that he alone has the keys of hell and the death, and he has given them unto us, and he has given the power to men, okay, to walk worthy of his calling. He has given us the ability to cast out serpents, to cast out devils, okay, to walk the walk of faith. But it's important, because these times that we're in, they're perilous times, and the faithful, those are the ones who will survive. Those are the ones who will do it to the end. The ones who will cry out to the Lord. That's what we have to do. We're not trying to have heroes here. We hear a lot in this world about this person's a hero. And yes, we give honor where honor's due and credit where credit's due. But the bottom line is, Jesus Christ, we have to call on the name of Jesus in times such as these that we may be saved. To call upon his name, to seek him, to seek after his Holy Spirit while he yet may be found, and to relinquish everything that we know to be within our flesh and give it to the Lord. Lay aside every weight and every sin. The Bible says, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But we have to understand, we cannot walk in sin. And the enemy, the more we even walk in sin, the more that he's going to try to bring falsehood so that you continue to fall away and go away that seems right to a man, which at the end is destruction. When in fact, we want to continue to walk the straight as the gate and narrow the way that leads to the path of righteousness. But the Bible says few go therein. And he even says, no, there's none righteous, but even, you know, the righteous will scarcely make it. So this is why it's important to stay within the word and encourage one another, to confess our sins to one another and say, hey, you know, this is my issue, but I'm going to overcome. And we continue to strengthen each other in the faith, not to say tolerate the sin, okay, and iniquity and transgression. It's not something we're tolerating. But we say we love you enough to say, hey, I know that you can overcome. And we're saying that I love you enough to purify the love of Christ that I'm able to pray you through. I'm able to pray with you that we're able to decrease to the lowly estate for the sake of winning souls to Jesus Christ, because the days are not long. Even the Bible says here, because the time is at hand. All right, so I'm going to close up this segment right here. We thank you for joining in with